This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by 350 of the most rad motherfuckers on the planet. Coming to you live and direct from Oakland, California, the home of the NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. It is your friend, your confidant, your pal, Justin Robert Young. That's me. If you are watching this then on YouTube, then awesome. Congratulations. You are living in a visual world, and I am a visual girl, he said confusedly. We're doing this a little bit differently. I'm starting to get an idea of what this new studio has capacity for in terms of visual stuff. It is a work in progress. I'm still trying to get a lot of shit nailed down, including my Blackmagic card, so I can actually use decent cameras. But in the meanwhile, I'm like, fuck, man, I don't want to just have the same thing. I don't want to just look like a guy doing a webcam show. So what did I do? I just bought more webcams. I don't know why I felt like I was solving a problem by buying more webcams, but now I got more webcams. I got the webcam that I normally have, and now I have another webcam that I can switch to. I have one shot here where I have both webcams at the same damn time. And yet I'm not looking at any of them. Look, I can look at that one and talk to you, and now I'm looking off, and I can look at that one, and now I'm looking off at the other one. It's, who knows? I want it to be a little bit more visually interesting for people who watch on YouTube so we can reward those for whom enjoy a visual product, including everybody who watches live on DiamondClub.tv. This is all just perfunctory, you know, just letter to the subscriber, you know, kind of stuff here. I'm just letting you guys know where your money is going when you pay me on Patreon. Okay, so there's that. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, some people like to believe that there is somebody, a greater power beyond us that rewards, you know, that. You know, sees our work and then encourages us to continue, or they will say stop. And then seriously, you must stop. So here's the deal. There's just been a shit ton of stories that have been out here, and a lot of them are very heavy. A lot of them are very weighty. We've had the, you know, I've felt like this is a show where we are allowed to talk about weighty issues. Not necessarily because I have an opinion on them that is necessarily important, because I don't think I really do. If anything, I just want to set by example the idea that these issues can be talked about. So I joked that last week was the minefield episode. Talked about race. Talked again about gender, specifically transgender issues. And it was as if the universe fucking saw me and said, hey, you think you're doing a minefield episode? How about now you talk about this horrifying shit that's happening in Charleston, South Carolina? So let's, aside from just saying, it's the most horrible thing ever. I don't know really what much more I can say that's going to add anything to this particular topic. There is one thing that I think is kind of a sub issue that I'm going to get to in a second. By the way, we got plenty of shit here. I got presidential pep talks to give to both Jeb Bush and Donald Trump. I'm going to talk about going out to, man, I had a fuck of a last 72 hours, man. A lot of traveling, a lot of driving. And it ended with me in a fucking youth center in Moosic, Pennsylvania, watching somebody that I think I've only met like three times end his dream. That'll be interesting. And also, I got a little Father's Day tribute that I like to get out here. So what better way to do it? To start off this little show without me going into a very trivial point about what is by far the biggest hot button issue of the day, and that is the shooting of a church. I believe it was 8 victims in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. The suspect is now in custody. So before I talk, let me just explain where I'm coming from and how I would like to be received. I'm going to state openly how I would like these points to be received, just so you can disagree with them and you can call me a piece of shit if you think that these are offensive, but just so you know, I know where these are coming from and I know where I might be fucking weird about it, okay? Where I might be off base, because this has happened to me with gay marriage. You know, a lot of people have conversations about gay marriage, and I am tempted to say I'm against gay marriage, because in reality, I am. I don't believe that there should be a thing called gay marriage. I don't think it's right. I think it's fucked up. Now, see, that is fucked up to say, right? And here's my point. I believe that there should not be any marriage. That the state, the way that the state recognizes unions between people, should not be called marriage. That's a religious term. Let the religious people have it. Let the states have something called civil unions. So you get a civil union. That's your recognition by the state that this is a thing. And then you go fucking make yourself right with, you know, the Lord or Jehovah or the fucking Godswood. I don't know, man. Like, I ain't your dad. Do whatever you want. But when the debate was about gay marriage, oh, civil union, this is like a separate but equal kind of thing, and civil unions are a step down, I was like, no! This is fucking great, you know? Gays can be the bold trailblazers, as they are in so many facets of culture. And hopefully we can just abolish marriage. They done fucked up. I was like, we have the loophole now. Now we can just kill marriage. And and gays get civil unions, and then I'm going to be like, fuck it. I want it because I'm getting married. I'm like, no, fuck it. I don't want it. I want a civil union. I want a civil union between a man and a woman. And then fucking like that's me, and I in my head my point's so good that I'm just like giving middle fingers, and it's a Stone Cold Steve Austin fucking theme song, and everyone's like, oh my god, his point's too good. I'm fucking Stone Cold stunning people. It's fucking amazing in my head. Now that's what I think. What other people hear is that you're a homophobe who doesn't like gay marriage, and also this is not what this topic is about. Quit hijacking it for your own intellectual masturbation. And that's true. Incidentally, I am hijacking what is an otherwise important conversation that has context and relevance with various different issues. I'm hijacking it so I can make a point about how I don't think that states should be issuing marriage license, and I think they should be issuing civil unions. So I understand that the point I'm about to say is not the main point, okay? And it is to be taken as just intellectual masturbation beyond all the key core tenets of what's happening in this Charleston situation. Included therein, but not limited to. In fact, this is a horrifying incident. The fact that this is a racially based shooting and crime. The fact that I don't want to hear any more about the shithead who did it. I want to hear far more about the people whose lives were taken so we can understand the tragedy and not the perpetrator. And that this, again, reignites what is a constant issue in American culture, gun control. We can do another gun control episode. It's going to be better if we have a gun control conversation, not right now. So let's just get into what my complete bullshit side dish points are. And that wraps around the idea of the Confederate flag flying in front of the State House in South Carolina. So a lot of people, are including Mitt Romney, are like, hey, pull it down. It's fucked up. A lot of people think that it is a sign of racial hate. You need to pull it down. And, you know, to be honest, from my perspective, yeah, you should. You should pull it down. It's fucked up. It's something that is a sign of a bygone era, and I don't think it should be there. But there are two elements to this, and let's get into both of them. Number one, we need to understand that if you want to pull this thing down, you have to engage in a conversation, and the people you have to have a conversation to are reasonable, non-racist, who find identity in that flag. Because they're the only people for which we care about that you would want on your side. And I don't think that's necessarily controversial. That's just kind of rhetoric and debate. You know, it's how debates are won, is you convince the reasonable people who are predisposed to possibly listen to your argument by convincing them. So, how do we do that? Two things. One, let's understand that a bunch of northern motherfuckers telling South Carolinians to pull down the Confederate flag is not the best way to go about this. I mean, like, it's just a bad look. It's just not good. Now, you shouldn't be forced to say that you don't think that way. You are entitled to your opinion, but just understand that this particular issue, the idea of displaying a Confederate flag, if a bunch of New Yorkers, like, let's say, a former mayor of Boston, like Mitt Romney, if he's saying, hey, you should take it down, they are predisposed to not listen to you. That's just a fact. Number two, the Confederate flag, in my opinion, and this is just me living my life, the reasonable crowd that can be convinced that this needs to be taken down are non-racist or racially motivated poor whites. Because if there is one demographic for which identifies with the Confederate flag, not necessarily as a sign of racial hate, but rather as a sign that we are something special, even though the world has robbed from us repeatedly, are poor whites. One might even say poor rural whites, but I don't even want to go there. Because I think I've seen plenty of fucking Confederate flags flying in Jacksonville, flying in Tampa, you know, flying in Atlanta. It's fine. All right, let's just draw a circle around that for a second. And understand that it does mean one thing, and because it means one thing, it should be taken down. I'm not saying it shouldn't. But it doesn't only mean one thing. And when you are making an argument to have it taken down, I believe you have to have that point in mind, or else you're not going to get what you want and get what is right done. Now, I have no idea how to talk to poor whites who are not racially motivated as a way to convince them to pull it down, aside from possibly, you know, just appealing to the fact that these are similarly damaged people. The people who want the Confederate flag down feel that society has repeatedly kept them down, and that they do, that they face discrimination every single day. And I believe that poor whites and poor people in general feel that as well, that there's a suffocating nature to poverty. That is, you know, something that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to. And if you are, if you're having this conversation, that's something that you can appeal to. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to say that. I'm just a guy talking. But I do think that that is, that's where your conversation needs to be. Conversation needs to be that if you put the Confederate flag on your truck because you want to demonstrate to people that A, you are from the South, and B, you are tough, then this is not about you not being tough and you should not be proud that you came from a hard scrabble background, which I think to some, not all, and I'm not saying that this is like, it's history, not hate. Not what I'm saying, right? I'm saying that I saw a lot of motherfuckers at the Kiss Chili Cook-Off when I you know, grew up in Davie, Florida, many of which were fucking pretty racist with Confederate flags and would be the guy to fucking drop an N-bomb in a random conversation after looking over his shoulder left and right. But there were a bunch of people who just grew up in trailer parks that felt like this was their symbol to say, I'm from a tough area and I don't take shit. Whether or not that was right or wrong for them to use that symbol or view it in their own way is up for debate. I'm just saying those are the people for which would be your ally if you address them and don't trivialize what they feel going forward. Now, this is not about, well, hey, the people that are that want this thing taken down feel that they have had nothing but the world fall down on them. And I agree. More so than a poor white segment of the community that has found a non-racial identification within the Confederate flag. This isn't about a pain measuring contest. I would just like to say, you want to know what we should do in these situations? Identify the humanity and go from there. Craft your argument from there. Have your patience from there. And I think the world would be, I don't know, maybe better. That's my thought. We have so much more coming up on the show. Again, presidential pep talks for all the people that are out here, you know, including fucking Donald Trump. Oh, my God. I can't believe this fucking guy. That's all coming up right now on the Justin Robert Young podcast. We have a lot of people running for president, y'all. Holy shit, man. We had open the floodgates. Ready for action, declared so many people since we last did one of these presidential pep talks. I don't have my politics sounder, so we're just going to have to roll getting into why, you know, lots been said about Jeb Bush. To be honest, let me just be real with you though. If I was a betting man and I had to bet money on who would be the Republican nominee for president, I would say Jeb Bush, just because that dude's got a machine that's done it a couple times before. I think that he started off in a really smart way, you know, making sure that he was out in front of, you know, the immigration issue and saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to be the same immigration candidate as the other folks that are out there. But he seems to have lost some of his swag. There's, you know, some BuzzFeed articles already, you know, trying you know, questioning his fire in the belly, saying that he's not really into it. And that's contrasted by the fact that, like his runs in Florida for governor, he has decided to not just be Jeb, J-E-B, but Jeb! J-E-B exclamation point. Which is pretty amazing. But ultimately, here's the problem. There's a reason why Jeb and Hillary are Jeb and Hillary and not, you know, their last names, Bush and Clinton. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they want to be their own candidates. They don't necessarily want to carry the baggage of their husband slash brother. Now, Hillary has done a fairly good job of being in national positions of power so she can be judged on her record. Jeb, I know well because I was living in Florida when he was the governor. Which, by the way, just to let you know how fucking weird Florida is, you know, so Florida had Jeb, who ran, I believe, twice and lost a lot in Chiles and then eventually became governor, a fairly popular governor. Then they elected Charlie Crist, for whom everyone's pretty sure is gay, and then left office and then became a Democrat and then ran again as a Democrat and lost to Rick Scott, who... I don't know a whole lot about Rick Scott. I know that he looks like Voldemort. That ain't, I don't know, man. I ain't about his politics. Motherfucker looks like Voldemort. I mean, what are you going to say? All right. Jeb, here's his problem. His brother's George W. Bush. George W. Bush is somebody for whom, unless Baghdad becomes Paris in the next year, he's going to have a hard time, you know, saying, oh, yeah, no, we totally should have went to war. It's just going to be a hard thing to go on. And I tend to have a little bit of a more of a rosier idea about, you know, the Middle East than some, you know. But it's just it's not going to be something that he's just going to be able to fast forward through. He's going to have to answer for it, which is why I believe he should drop out. Drop out. Jeb, here's a presidential pep talk. Drop out. 2 weeks later, new candidate enters. He's got a fucking a mask. It's the Midnight Rider. Same fucking accent. Comes in and he's just like, hey, I'm the Midnight Rider. I used to be the governor of Florida. I had the following record. I believe in these beliefs. Same fucking platform. Exactly the same platform, right? But you're just not George W. Bush's brother. And everyone's like, man, that sounds a lot like Jeb Bush. Pfft, it ain't. It's the Midnight Rider. Let's see if we can actually... We'll do another Midnight Rider bit. All right, so Jeb Bush, Midnight Rider. That's my suggestion. Okay. Jackie Hearn, who has done business in Florida, points out that Jeb lost against Chiles' lieutenant governor, Buddy McKay. And then Chiles wound up dying. I don't know. I don't know why I remember fucking Lawton Chiles. And he was the second Republican governor since Reconstruction, and now they have not elected anything but a Republican governor in years. So that's my plan for Jeb. Let's move on to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is quite literally a clown. He's not a real person. He has said he's going to run for president the last two presidential cycles. He has decided not to run for president both times because he had to host a reality show. That should give you an idea of the priorities of Donald Trump. Now, that is not to say that he will not be significant in this election. And for the record, I am fucking all aboard the Trump Express. I believe this is the most important political move we have seen thus far. For selfish reasons.
Is it because you can talk about him on the podcast?
Yes, but not ideally. This is why it's great. Because I am currently in the process of creating and preparing a Kickstarter for a fucking card game in which we use actual presidential quotes, do X-ray versions of those quotes, and put them into a Cards Against Humanity meets presidential debate game. We are going to be doing expansion packs based on real quotes that happen during real debates. Which means that we get to do fucking Donald Trump quotes to fucking sell expansion packs on. Are you fucking kidding me? This is going to be the best business move Donald Trump has made in years. He has literally just added thousands of dollars to my life. Thank you. Thank you, fucking Donald Trump. This is going to make this game so much better. I believe there's a measurable impact on fucking what we are going to sell on this game because Donald Trump is in this this debate, which means I'm not even going to give him advice. Man, you want to know what? You do you, Don. You do you, because there's nothing that I can say that will make you more entertaining than you are right now. And that's what I would like for you to be. Just a big, fat supernova of fucking freaky comb-overs and arrogant opinions. Like, and his shit is just off. Like, there is nothing I hate more in life than people who have strong opinions that don't challenge the common narrative. It is what I believe the opinion of an analysis maker should be. If you fucking walk into a marketplace of ideas and you are just peddling the exact same cheap pop bullshit that everybody else is, then you should be motherfucking ashamed. Because if you want someone to listen to you, it is fucking embarrassing if all you do is pander to their ideas. You should always be trying to at least give a different side of what is being discussed. So it pains me to just walk in front of you and say Donald Trump's an idiot. But Donald Trump's an idiot, man. Like, there's, you know, to say like, oh, we're going to make Mexico pay for the wall. Okay. I used to know a guy in college that was a rich kid. I liked him. Everybody else thought he was an asshole. I like him. I guess I just like assholes. But he used to do shit like he would go to the gym, get a membership at a gym, pay for a year, right? Put it on a credit card. Then he would find something that was wrong with his membership. So, for example, bought a gym membership, then went to every single branch he was allowed to go to and found something wrong with not his main branch, but another branch. I think their spa wasn't working. Worked out for a little bit and then called and demanded that they give him that year for free because what he had paid for was not being provided. This is just who he was. He wanted to test the realm of how far he could go when it came to money. He had money, he didn't worry about it, and he certainly didn't care about what people thought about him. That's who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is my friend from college. He just wants to fucking see whether or not he can fucking do it. He's the guy who walks into a restaurant with you, orders everything on the left side of the menu, and then demands it all be comped. Why? Because on some level, he just wants to see if he can do it. Donald Trump will not be able to be president, but he will be able to be enough of an asshole that it sells card games. The Contender, coming soon. Thank you. man. I really apologize to everybody out here. You know, I wanted this to be a little bit more of a put together show. Hopefully we are a little bit different visually. I want to make this a more visually dynamic show for people who like to watch it as opposed to listen to it. I want to continue to try and give what people have come to expect in terms of an audio program, but I haven't had a whole lot of time at home. Let me give you guys, you know, just a little bit of a sniff of what my last week was. So y'all heard me on the show last Sunday, which was early. We had to do an early show because I did a live stream for the Money in the Bank wrestling. I then watched Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, went to sleep. Woke up, went into the office, took care of some shit, came back, did the Jerry Moore podcast, went to sleep. Woke up in the goddamn 3 o'clock hour of the Pacific morning, got on a plane to Indianapolis, went to Indianapolis, did a go game in Indianapolis, took a plane on Thursday, went to New Jersey. New Jersey, I'm there for a morning game on Friday. Friday, I drive to Queens. There, I meet Andrew Zarian. I can't remember if I've ever, in person, hung out with Andrew Zarian. But I did on Friday. We went to the wrestling show. Went to the Ring of Honor. Now, I don't want to get into a big wrestling thing. I love the show. Thought it was great. It was awesome to see somebody like Jay Lethal be the world champion. He deserves it. He's been around for a while. He's extraordinarily talented. I got a little bit of a problem with Ring of Honor, and I don't want to fucking make it a big smart thing. But they don't know how to tell a story. Like, systemically, they don't. They don't. They don't know how to tell a story at all. And sometimes it's fine because, in general, they have Cirque du Soleil-level talent in the ring that provides for everybody an amazing experience. But sometimes it's a little bit of a problem. Sometimes it's a little bit of a problem because you have a lot of elements that suggest a story is being told, and then they're all ignored. It's kind of an issue. Little bit of an issue, minor issue, little bit of an issue. Sometimes it's an issue when there was a moment in the show when tremendously popular bad guys, the Bullet Club, who are cheered as the loudest cheers of the night, because everybody loves them, but they're bad guys. They all kicked a woman in the face. Three of them kicked a woman in the face who's supposed to be a good guy. And the crowd cheered. So I'm not saying that you should be worried about the crowd, right? But it's weird when you don't put context in there and everybody cheers the bad guys triple kicking a woman in the face. Now, they're doing it because the bad guys are popular. But it's weird. And it kind of seems odd, and not that wrestling is always the best at this, but just the eensy weensy bit socially troubling. Jackie Hearn says, would they cheer if they kicked a baby in the face? Yes, because the Bullet Club is, as we like to say in the industry, and by the industry I mean the business, over. Another problem is you have Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal is very well respected in the company. He is a great worker. He deserves to be world champion. Here's the problem. He's the bad guy, and he's surrounded by three other bad guys. And at the end, everyone's cheering, all four bad guys standing in the ring, standing victorious over the good guy. Now, I'm not saying that that can never happen, and I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying, why have all the bad guys there? Like, why make them bad guys? Like, it just kind of cheapens why they're bad if it's not going to be even a momentary, like, Jay Lethal sends him to the back and says, I'm going to do this by myself kind of thing. Just seems a little weird. All right, so anyway, I'm at ROH. I see Andrew Zarian. I see somebody that I haven't seen in a little bit, my buddy Harry Terjanian, who's a comic out there in New York City. He's so funny. Everybody look him up on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. His stand-up is great. I love him. I've known him since fucking high school, and I randomly saw him at the ROH show. It was a delight. Go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning because I'm hanging out with Andrew and we're having a great time. Also, that motherfucker's like the mayor of Bayside, Queens. Like, he knows, he walks around, he knows everybody. It's fucking amazing. Go to Brooklyn in the morning. Brunch with a friend of mine. Have that. Drive. This is yesterday, Saturday. Drive all the way out to Scranton, Pennsylvania. From Brooklyn to Scranton, it's about 3 hours. Get there, and I see something that was really touching. You're someone else that I've very rarely kind of met in person. Joey Image. He is, if you're not familiar with the Frog Pants community, he is a big part of that. For, you know, following all the Scott Johnson programs. He's a staple at Nerdtacular, and he is a professional wrestler. He suffered a couple spinal injuries over the last few years, and he has made the decision that he can't wrestle anymore. And by he, I mean his doctors made the decision that he can't wrestle anymore. So because he's a wrestler, he decided, I'm going to only wrestle 5 more matches, and then I'm out because I don't want to be paralyzed. So he's wrestled 5 more matches, and last night was his last. And I drove out to see it. Now, I don't want to get into the specifics because I've already talked enough about wrestling. But when I was driving out there, I had a question on why am I doing it? Like, I like Joey. I know Joey, you know, but that basically took another day that I could have had here out. And this is a time of year, a time in my life where I really need every spare moment I can. Now, I never really thought that I wasn't going to do it, but while I was driving out, there was definitely some second guessing in my head. And I was like, well, I mean, fuck, like, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul here. Like, I'm taking time out of planning the wedding. I'm taking time out of doing the contender. I'm taking time out of planning the one-man show. Why am I driving to motherfucking Moosic, Pennsylvania to go to a youth center to watch indie wrestling? Now, support a friend. That's always good. I believe that is a good sign. It is a good thing to have in your life if you are supporting your friends. But I didn't realize why I was doing it until I was there. And I watched somebody kill their dream. I watched a grown man choke back tears because something that he had always told himself would be how he made his living was no longer his living. Now, this is something that happens a lot, and it very often does not come with the pageantry of what happened last night in the Moosic Youth Center, which was beautiful. I mean, that was a lot of people. I mean, dozens and dozens of people surrounding Joey and celebrating the fact that he was moving on. A lot of times when we give up on our dreams, it's a lonely, depressing experience. Now, it's not to say that Joey's not going to have that experience, but there's very rarely a ceremony when you just decide, yeah, I can't do what I thought I was going to do. I got to do something else. Now, very often, we don't have a doctor telling us we can't do it. And a lot of us don't do performance art in the way that professional wrestling is, or make the connections that a lot of people do when you are a professional wrestler. But it was that weird blend of reality and unreality that wrestling is so great for that brought everybody around the ring and started banging on it. It was sad. It was like a combination party and retirement. It was a graduation and a retirement party all in the same moment. And meanwhile, it's surrounded by all these wrestlers who are younger that are looking at Joey and saying, well, I mean, you know, they have a relationship with him. They're emotional for him moving on, but you can see it in their eyes that a lot of them are like, fuck, any moment this could be me. Any moment I could fall the wrong way and I could be told this is never going to happen for me. It was amazing. It was what I love the most about professional wrestling, which is emotion. It is the manipulation of emotion in a way that you very, very rarely get in entertainment, and you very much need to appreciate when it happens. But to see somebody who has sacrificed so much say goodbye to something they loved, I think it framed a lot for me. And especially going into a lot of these creative endeavors that I am over the next few months, man, it definitely made me appreciate stuff. It made me look at things in a different way. So I was driving back through the fucking foggy highways of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, back to a Newark hotel where I slept a grand total of 2 hours before getting on a flight back here to San Francisco and doing the Weird Things podcast. But it made me think, man, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And you never know how long you're going to be able to do it before somebody comes in, be it a doctor, be it your own finances, be it somebody in your life that needs more of your attention. You never know when people are going to tell you that this shit's over. So you better go for it. You better go for it hard. And that's what Joey Image taught me last night. And that's why I was out in a fucking youth center in goddamn Moosic, Pennsylvania. We will be back with a Father's Day tribute and your emails coming up. Man, I got to start doing more comedy on these shows. Like, the fucking show's such a bummer lately. It's all just all weighty issues. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Should I be doing just more, you know, wizards and homeless people? I mean, I know most people just say, I enjoy the show, do whatever you want, but that's what I'm feeling right now. And just, I'm going to say that as I go into something more heavy. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I do just want to pay tribute, since it is Father's Day, to somebody who has meant a lot in my life. His name is Ron. Ron is my father. Ron didn't shoot me out of his balls and inseminate my mom, and yet he's my father. I think you can probably go back to the Night Attack episodes, Ghost Dad 1 and 2, if you want to understand the relationship I have with my biological father. But what is kind of left unsaid there is that there was somebody who provided a male father figure for me, and that was Ron. Ron was in his early 20s when he started dating my mom. Maybe not early 20s, mid-20s. Ron was a security guard. Ron drove a piece of shit fucking green automobile in which he started with a screwdriver. He was not necessarily, by looks alone or by bank account, quite the catch for my mom. However, he was kind, he was patient, he was loving, and he gave my brother and I a father when we desperately needed one, because my mom was too busy and too caring and too nurturing to deal with the fact that both my brother and I, who are very, very smart, would have been able to exploit that and become people that I don't think either my brother or I would like. We needed a little discipline. And Ron gave it to us. I said on Twitter this morning, shout out on this Father's Day to everybody who is raising kids that aren't their own. The damage that you have stemmed from sucker-ass Marx is legend, and I mean that to the syllable. Because there is nothing that scars more for kids than the sins of their parents. And not being a part of their life is something that is hard to get over. You know, this is not to say fuck you to everybody who doesn't have a relationship with their kids, because, you know, shit happens. Everybody's on their own journey. But for me, if Ron wasn't in my life, I would be a different person. And I likely wouldn't be here. I don't know if I would have the self-confidence. I don't know if I would have the discipline to get up and do this kind of stuff in a way that I would feel happy with. I don't know if I would have the social skills to be able to make friends with the kind of people. I don't know if I would have the self-respect to be able to make partnerships with the kind of people that I've been able to. So thank you very, very much. You know, I called Ron today and I wished him a happy Father's Day, and he was a grumpy old fuck because that's who he is. But if you're at Dragon Con, he'll be there, and you can say hi to him, and it'll be a fun time. I'm looking forward to bringing him into this world, if just for one day for my wedding. And I want everybody to know who listens to this that Ron Ferragonio is somebody that I treasure deeply. And if you are that to somebody, sometimes it's hard, you know? Sometimes there's a lot of shit that goes along with fucking raising somebody who is not your biological offspring. But if you're kind, you're decent, you're caring, and you're nurturing, you're making their lives better. And eventually they'll tell you. Eventually. Probably not now. Emails. You can send them to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line, J-U-R-Y in the subject line. Tyler writes, I'll try to make this quick. Over the past few days, I've been thinking about the recent shooting a lot. Almost immediately, as with many similar cases, the words mental illness sprang forth like they've been waiting behind the teeth of the media since the last major violent act. I have bipolar disorder, extreme anxiety, and a plethora of other fun things, and it always feels so dehumanizing that often these people are, at least temporarily, considered the poster boys for mental health, which I think he means poster boys for people who suffer from mental health issues. Just kind of a bummer, and I'd love to know what you think. Thanks, man. Love the show. Tyler, you want to know what? I'm curious. If I did like to do any kind of work, I would like to go back to the that shooting out there in Southern California. And look, remember what I said about mental illness. I do believe that mental illness is something that we don't understand as much as I think we will in the future. I don't think we understand the brain near as well as we could, and we will eventually. And I think that a lot of that is just lumping in everything from like, oh, you have OCD to you want to murder people. The anatomy of a killer is something that I think is probably more complex than we have the language to understand right now. But at the same time, I've kind of grown to hate the idea that we just say he was mentally ill or that they are mentally ill. Because, like, whether or not, I mean, like, we can't, it's not like that's backed up by, like, oh, we scanned his brain. You know, we just kind of say that because obviously who would kill somebody if they weren't mentally ill? And for all I know, sure, that's a legitimate way to say it. But I just feel like we kind of toss it around. And I don't blame you for being pissed off, Tyler, because like you fucking deal with your shit. You fucking, you know, at least have a conception of it. And it doesn't sound like it's something that you're really fucking pumped about. You know, it's an effort. It's a process. And so if all of a sudden people are like, what are you going to do, man? Mentally ill. Like, it is kind of a spit in the face for you if you're trying to fucking make yourself a better person. So I don't blame you. It fucking annoys me because, again, we just get into this thing where we're so fascinated by the killer that we fucking ignore the tragedy. And this isn't a political thing. This isn't like, oh, we need to focus on what it is because we need to do something legislatively about it. It's more just, you know, why don't we talk about how many people, you know, all the people that got killed and the families they left behind and what their hopes and dreams were? Why don't we talk about them? Instead, we focus on this guy and we just say, oh, like, it's the worst of both, right? Because we care more about the killer and we want to dismiss him. You want to know why? Because we are so freaked out by the idea that people kill people that we just need to deal with them. We are pattern recognizing creatures and we fucking freak out about remainders. If it's .00112456, we freak the fuck out. We need everything to be a round number. And so we focus on the remainder, which is that this fucking outlier decided to murder people. And then we fucking qualify him as fast as possible. And we put him away. We put him out of our brain. Because we can't fucking deal with the fact that this guy was so fucking far outside the bounds of what we consider to be humanity that he murdered people. And so we fucking tar and feather the idea of mental health for the fact that we don't want to deal with him. We're like, oh, that's the guy. Put him in the box. Up, out of here. And now we'll focus on other stuff. I'm not saying that this has to be all we think about. I'm not saying that I'm telling people how to process grief or that they're not grieving in the right way. I'm just saying that that bothers me. Warcow writes, and then here we go. Waffleophagus says, Jerry, I have no idea who the killer is, but I want to keep it that way. I'd rather focus on Cynthia Marie Graham Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lee Lance, DePayne Milton Doctor, and Clementa C. Pickney, and the others. And I agree with that. And also, it shows what a fucking hypocrite dickhead I am. That's the first time that I'm reading those names. So, you know, fuck me. Warcow writes, and Warcow wrote me an amazing fucking email all about this in far greater detail and was nice enough to give me a nice little summation to read on the show. Warcow says, your advice was good. I didn't listen, but it worked out because she ended up having somebody. This was, he had somebody that he wanted to date, so that didn't work out. But time went by, and he met somebody else. She and I are awesome. She dated a douchebag for about a month. Now she's single, and we're close friends. I figured out that I am actually truthfully, wholeheartedly in love with her and one other person in my life. I decide not to date somebody unless I feel the same connection or it's one of them. I realize the thing I was searching for, I already have. Sometimes a dude, sometimes lady, always a diamond. And in his further email, he talked about his creativity kind of coming back to him when he realized that he already had love in his life and he needed to treasure it, and it didn't come in an idea that, you know, this new person was going to provide something for him. I think that's a great idea, man. There's so much that we have, and we focus, again, on kind of filling the loose ends in our life by new hotness as opposed to the old and busted but yet likely tried and true solutions, which are fucking here for us so often. Ken writes, I was curious to know what you think of people who identify as animals or something else non-human, like that dude who tried to transition into a tiger. I understand that by asking this, I'm not trying to imply that transgender equals the tiger guy or that transgender people are in any way a gateway or a slippery slope to trans species or whatever. As a straight male who lacks those traits upheld as manly, I have sympathy for our transgender brother and sisters. I am also not saying that those heavily modified non-human identifying people are wrong. I guess they identify as something other than their body they were born into. So in the spirit of tolerance, I guess I should embrace them and admire their bravery. Secretly, just between us and the JRY listeners, I think they're crazy weirdos and I hope my children never become them. I say this knowing that makes me sound like an intolerant asshole. Of course, I would appear tolerant. I would share their, if I met them, I would appear tolerant. I'd shake their hand and I'd tell them I like their stripes or whatever, but secretly, I'd probably write them off as attention seeking freak jobs. I wonder how transgender folks feel about trans species people. What do you think? if a close relative or loved one confided in you that they identified as a tiger and had decided to undergo surgery to make that transition, how would you handle it? What about that guy who is transitioning into Red Skull? I do question the wisdom and motivation of becoming an ex-Nazi supervillain. I mean, Hydra, right? I guess they are ex-Nazis. Am I an asshole? Because my mind even went in this direction during the whole collective transgender hashtag join the conversation. Well, I'll tell you what. There's one thing we learned over the last 2 weeks is that we have a hearty transgender listenership. So, folks, feel free to email in and ask and answer this question from Ken on your take individually. Of course, nobody's asking you to speak for the entire transgender community, but just you as people, what you think about trans species folks. Man, there is so rarely this time, but I'm going to have to go ahead and fucking Kermit T this motherfucker because I don't even have an opinion. I guess I would look at them in the same way as just the same way that I would look at people with face tattoos in general. Like, I'm not really a big tattoo guy, so I would just look at it like that, like people who have a shit ton of tattoos and piercings. You know, rad for you. It's not my job or not my bag, but I think in general, it's hard for people to wrap their head around because, again, what makes transgender, in my opinion, more of a thing that is societally at least understood, although discriminated against, is that we understand gender roles. Racial roles are harder. Species roles, I feel like we haven't even begun to get into this fucking conversation. So I think it would be hard for people to fucking deal with that. But thank you very much for writing in. Again, that is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put JURY in the subject line if you would like to write the show. However, if you find yourself on this fine Father's Day contemplating the issues of the day, if you find yourself engaging in the kind of conversations that we have just engaged in, if you too believe that Ring of Honor has a systemic storytelling problem, if you are living your dream and understand that one day it might, as you imagine it, die, and that cripples you in depression. Well, folks, remember that your pal Justin Robert Young is telling you in this very moment to please don't die.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.